Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this conference call regarding the acquisition we announced this morning of two assets from Anadarko. My name is Lars Røsæg, and I'm the Head of Investor Relations. This morning at 8:00 A.M. Norwegian and Central European Time, we sent out the stock market announcement and press release about the deal. All documentation is available on our website, statoilhydro.com. Here we also have available for you a slide pack describing the transaction. It is this slide pack that we will use in this conference call. With me here in Stavanger, Norway, I have the Executive Vice President and Chief Financial Officer, Eldar Sætre. Eldar will use about 10 to 12 minutes to take us through the slides. Before we start, I would like to draw your attention to page two. It is the description of how we use forward-looking statements in the presentation, and please pay close attention to this page. I would like to pass the microphone to Eldar Sætre. Eldar, please.
Thank you, Lars. It's a real pleasure for me to introduce you to this exciting transaction for Statoil that was announced this morning. I will start the presentation with some comments to the overview, page three of the presentation. The core of the deal is that Statoil acquires Anadarko's stake of 50% in the Peregrino heavy oil field in the Campos Basin offshore Brazil. Statoil thereby becomes the 100% owner and also the operator of the field. At the same time, we acquire Anadarko's 25% interest in the BP-operated Kaskida discovery in the deep water of Gulf of Mexico. Statoil pays a total of $1.8 billion for the combined assets. In addition, there is an earn-out clause in the agreement where we will pay Anadarko up to an accumulated maximum of $300 million in addition to the cash purchase price, provided the oil price exceeds certain threshold levels during the period from production start until 2020. Today's move is consistent with the strategy that we announced at our Capital Markets Day in January, where both heavy oil and deepwater opportunities were highlighted as the important elements of our growth strategy. Let's now take a closer look at the two assets, and please turn to page four. Statoil already have significant positions within heavy oil related to our operations at the Grane field in the North Sea, our Canadian oil sands project in Alberta, the Bressay Mariner in the U.K. North Sea, and also through our Venezuelan joint operating company called the Sincor project. The operatorship of the Peregrino field makes us one of the largest foreign companies in Brazil and also provide us with a very solid, good base for future growth. We already know Peregrino very well as we were the operator of the project in the planning phase, and we have worked closely with Anadarko all along. Anadarko took over an operatorship in the development phase earlier this year, but now we return as operators to develop the field and operate the field with planned production start in 2010. To page five. The Peregrino field is located in the Campos Basin offshore Brazil. The recoverable reserve is estimated to about 500 million barrels, and the discount to Brent Blend is in the range of 25%-30% for this type of crude. The development of the field includes two platforms and an FPSO. Plateau production is expected within the first year of production from the startup in 2010 at around 100,000 barrels per day. All the supplier contracts have been awarded and the development work has started. The picture on this slide shows the Peregrino, the main field to the right, and the two extensions of the field where we think there could be the upside both in the south and in the southwest. We believe there are considerable possibility for increasing the recovery from today's around 20%. And I think IOR is an area where Statoil Hydro already has a strong proven track record from the Norwegian continental shelf. And I would just like to remind you that we have achieved a 53% recovery rate for the Grane field, similar type of heavy oil field on the Norwegian continental shelf. There is also opportunities to add resources beyond the main field. Some of these resources have already been identified through 3D seismic and confirmed through an appraisal well that was drilled last year. So let me now move to the other asset, to the Gulf of Mexico, on page 6. Cascada is one of the most significant, largest discoveries in the deepwater Gulf of Mexico over the last couple of years. When we sold our shallow water assets in the Gulf last year, we said that we would concentrate on the deep water areas to better be able to capitalize on our experience and competence from both subsea developments, challenging reservoirs, and large offshore projects in general. Today's transaction underpins this strategy. The map on this slide, illustrates our comprehensive position of licenses, leases, discoveries, and producing fields in the Gulf of Mexico. Cascada is likely to contribute to production growth beyond 2015. So please move to the next page, which is page 7. Cascada is a major discovery. BP, who is the operator on the discovery, said when they announced the discovery following the first exploration well that there is 800 feet of oil-bearing sand. It will, however, be necessary to drill further appraisal wells and to do extensive testing before we can give a proper assessment of the potential of this discovery. I should also add that this is a lower tertiary clay, which is similar to the geological models for the Julia, the Jack, and the San Pablo discoveries in the Walker Ridge area. Statoil Hydro is an early entrant and a large player in an area with little exploration and practically no infrastructure. We believe the Keathley Canyon has very promising potential, and with our significant amount of leases in the area, we have the opportunity to be amongst the architects for potential future infrastructure. Let me now move to the next page, page 8. Regarding the valuation and the acquisition price, we are also very pleased with this deal, this transaction. The valuation of Peregrina is based on the main field and on what we believe is a robust estimate, both for cost and the time schedule. We also believe there is additional value to be added through increasing the recovery rate and further development I've already mentioned. On the Cascada field, the valuation is based on a conservative 15% recovery rate. The break-even oil price for the transaction, combined transaction, is below $50 per barrel with the reference to Brentland. So let me now turn to the last slide to summarize the transaction. We are obviously very pleased with this transaction. The valuation is made on an oil price below $50 per barrel, and hence there is significant potential for a higher valuation. And then we will share some of this potential upside with Anadarko, given that it is actually realized. There are also other upsides and valuation opportunities where the potential benefits will be fully attributable to Statoil Hydro. At Peregrino, there is a significant potential for increasing the resource base and increased recovery by using new technology, and we believe the transaction also strengthens the basis for growing our business in Brazil further. At Cascada, we see a considerable possibility to develop this discovery and to increase the resource base. The transaction also strengthens our position as a deep water player, according to our strategy, and in an area where we are an early entrant and where we believe there is a lot of future value creation potential to be unlocked. So this concludes my introduction, and I now leave the work to Lars.
Well, thank you very much, Elda. In addition to Elda and myself in Stavanger, we also have Kjetil Hove, who is the Vice President of Business Development in International E&G. Operator, could you please tell the participants how we get locked the Q&A?
For questions, please press star key followed by a 1. If your question already has been answered and you decide to withdraw, press star key 2. First question, Alistair Syme, Merrill Lynch, go ahead please.
Hi Elda, can I ask you a couple of questions? One simple one, is in your assessment a 15% recovery factor on Kaskida economic enough to make that a viable development in the future? And my other question, sort of more fundamental, we often hear companies talk about sort of using very conservative oil price assessments, and you're saying less than $50. But I can never get in my head what's going through the seller's mind in that environment, why they're prepared to sell assets on a $50 oil world. So, clearly the seller must have some different view on the risks associated with the development. Can you maybe give us a flavor for what those risks might be?
Well, first of all, when it comes to the Kaskida and the 15% recovery rate, I think that is a recovery rate which we consider, based on our knowledge of these type of reservoirs, to be a pretty safe bet. There's no guarantees to this, but we believe that definitely can be upside. And typically, what we see and what we have seen on the Norwegian continental shelf is that you can really increase the recovery rate quite significantly from the starting point, and particularly when into this type of new type of reservoir. So, specifically to your question, on 15%, yes, the whole transaction is based on that. So that gives us the kind of economics that I talked about. So we are comfortable with that. I should also mention that there is a lot of work to be done. There is a lot of appraisal work. The discovery needs to be tested in a proper way to make sure that the reservoir actually flows in a proper way. And then we have to discuss the recovery rate on top of that. So all these kind of risks and evaluations and assessments have been included in the economics that I talked about. Then when it comes to sort of the seller's mindset, I think I should be very careful about that. There should be different, type of incentives behind it, different strategies in the areas that we are talking about, different ways of looking at the business-related risk and the asset-related risk. That could be definitely, but there could also be other motivations. So I will not speculate basically at all, except for just stating the simple fact that I think both companies would have to look at this as a win. So we are talking about a win-win solution here, and we have agreed on a price which we are very comfortable with.
Do you think, to ask the question a different way, do you think Statoil Hydro will be prepared to sell any assets in your portfolio on the basis of that oil price assumption?
On the basis of, I think, this is not only a question about oil price, it's really a question of how you look at sort of the totality of an asset and what kind of offset, how you can leverage your technology and your skills and your competence. So to be honest, if you look at that kind of oil price, I think sort of it would be a little bit difficult for us to see selling. But then again, there could be other elements in this and different approaches and different views on the other elements that go into this equation. So I think that you should be looking for that kind of explanation.
Okay, thank you.
Next, Mr. McCasey, ABN AMRO. Go ahead, please.
Good afternoon. A couple of questions, please. You're a relatively new arrival in Brazil. I think you, via Hydro, you got into Peregrino at the end of 2005. You now have 100% of a $2.5 billion development. Are you comfortable with that degree of exposure to a single asset? And secondly, the discount to Brent. How do you derive that? And how do you see the marketplace for those acidic crudes developing after 2010, when we hear there will be a lot more of competing crudes coming onto the market? And my third question is on the special participation tax which applies in Brazil, whether you think you will be paying the top end of the tax band which applies. Thank you.
Okay, three questions. First of all, the issue of being a new arrival. Well, we have been in Brazil for 3 years now, and we have been doing activities related to developing this field. We have had exploration acreage. We have 11 exploration licenses now, and we will start doing our first exploration effort this year. And we have had a very good relationship with Petrobras for many years. I think sort of the way we judge the overall business environment and climate of operating in Brazil, that is something we feel very comfortable with. And to the extent that we have seen something, you know, during over these last years that made us uncomfortable, I think that would sort of have made this slightly more challenging. So basically we looked at the overall climate as comfortable. When it comes to your question as to the exposure and the 100% as such, obviously 100% is as far as it gets on one single asset. And you know, we have no specific plans to do anything about the 100% ownership. But that is something that, you know, might be considered to the extent we see strategic reasons for that and to divest the stake in this. But it's not a sort of an action plan for us or a firm strategy to do anything about 100% at least for the moment. When it comes to the discount, and you talked about the acid contents of this crude, this is actually not a very acid crude. It's a heavy crude. We're talking about a 14 API type of crude, and we have performed several studies together on the dock actually to look at sort of what the marketing value, how that could sort of look in the marketplace, and basically we feel very comfortable with the 25-30% discount that we have made as an assumption to the deal. Again, we haven't stretched that. We believe the main markets. And this crude, at least as a starting point, could be taken care of in the U.S. In the U.S. market. When it comes to tax, obviously in Brazil there is a corporate tax, 34%. There is also a gross tax, a revenue tax, 10%. And these are sort of the main tax elements. There is also some, you know, additional elements that you indicated and some indirect type of taxes and all of this is included and taken care of in the valuations and in the assessment that we have made.
Next, Ian Reed, UBS. Go ahead, please.
Afternoon, gentlemen. A couple of questions on Kaskida. Do you have a defined work program to bring it up to FID in the next couple of years? I heard you say you need to test the well. I presume you're going to drill some appraisal wells. So is there a timing on there? If it's post-2015, presumably you need to get after it relatively quickly. And there's no infrastructure in the area, so I presume a fair amount of new facilities need to be installed. And is it possible you give us some round numbers on costs and reserves? I noticed Wood Mackenzie are talking around 400 million barrels for this. Is that the number you're comfortable with? And do you have a kind of dollar for barrel development cost in mind, which you want to share with us?
Well, I could comment on your last question when it comes to reserves. I think the only thing we can talk about today is it's still early days. We know it's a significant discovery. We are quite confident of that. There's only been one well, and it's a substantial column that I refer to. And I think it's too early for us, and I assume it has been also for the operator to disclose any more information on that. And basically, I think we need more appraisal drilling to be able to firm up this. When it comes to the cost and the cost environment, obviously we are not talking about low cost type of development. This is deep water stuff. So I think basically we are talking about cost development cost as such in the range of $15 per barrel in today's cost environment. Now that could change, basically, since we are talking about development a few years ahead of us, so it would depend very much on how the cost level would look at that time. But in today's cost environment, in that range, and I think, you know, we are talking about break-even prices for these kinds of project developments today in the range of $45 to $65 per barrel. When it comes to the planned activities for appraisal drilling, I don't know if you, Jeter, would comment on that.
Yes, I can comment on that. The current plan with respect to appraisal is to drill 2 to 3 more wells within the coming years. In fact, we are planning to drill one year already this year, this spring. And, of course, following the results from those wells, the current plan is also to have a production test prior to sanctioning. However, these plans may alter based on the results, but 2 to 3 wells and a test before sanctioning is the current plan.
And BP had that well this year in their drilling schedule, did they?
Yes.
Okay. All right, thanks a lot.
Next, Colin Smith, the Edna Climate. Go ahead, please.
Afternoon, gentlemen. 3 questions, if I may. One, could you just confirm that the amount of the purchase price paid to Kaskida wasn't more than $150 million? Second thing, just to be clear, the oil price you're talking about for the $300 million trigger event, is that a WTI price or is it the realized price for Peregrino oil? And finally, could you talk a little bit in more general terms about where this leaves your continuing appetite to make acquisitions or do deals in the international business? Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, when it comes to the split of the transaction between the two assets, I think what I can do at this point is simply to refer to the fact that the two parties on this deal have agreed for various reasons not to disclose that, at least at this point, so I'm not in a position for actually contractual reasons not to disclose that. But obviously the Peregrino part of the transaction is substantially bigger than the other part, the other asset. When it comes to the oil price, what we're talking about here is the Brentland. It's not WTI, it's not the realized price. So this is, the reference here is Brentland. When it comes to the appetite, I think it's something we discussed briefly also at the Capital Markets Day in January, and I think we have, you know, over the last few years been doing transactions in Nigeria, in Gulf of Mexico, with the oil sands in Canada, and so far we have had a very good track record on this type of transaction. We do a very thorough job on the assets that we are acquiring, and in this case we have very specific knowledge about the Peregrino field, having actually been the operator before us, so we know pretty much exactly what we are buying. So I think you should look at this, you know, in the context that this is a good opportunity for us. It supports the short term based on specific knowledge and core competence on what we are buying, and it also gives us a longer-term opportunity related to long-term to the Kaskida in the area, which is also fits very well with our strategy, the deep water strategy. So from a strategic perspective, this is exactly what we said, and I think we said that if we do, then it would be consistent with these kind of strategies, and that's exactly what this is. So appetite going forward, I think all the criteria would have to be fulfilled before we sort of do this kind of stuff, and that's generally what I can say.
Thank you.
Next, you, William, Bellstone. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. Just a couple of more sort of, I guess, technical questions. Firstly, was in terms of Peregrino. Obviously, you say startup is in 2010. I was wondering if you could give us a feel for whether that's the beginning of 2010 or towards the end of 2010. Second point is when you think you might be able to give us more information in terms of how you see the ability to either raise recoveries or increase outlying reserve and how long that appraisal program will actually take to complete. And then finally, you mentioned, and you touched on a previous question, on your existing or other assets across Brazil, some of which you're actually operator on. notably in the Alamanda area. Just wondered what developments you're going to be carrying out this year on your other prospects in Brazil alongside Peregrina, please.
Sorry, your second question was about the appraisal program. Was that referring to Cascada or was that Peregrina?
No, that was on Peregrina. Just wondering if you can expect to see some more news on that.
Well, first of all, when it comes to the production start, what we have said is this is 2010. That is still the base plan. It's in the middle of 2010. I could also say that for purposes of doing the economics there, we have been slightly more conservative. You never know. There are risks to this type of project, and still early days. But the plan for the project as such, that is, I think, it's second quarter of 2010. And we believe that can be done, but we have been slightly more, as I said, conservative doing the economics here. When it comes to the IOR, I think this is basically something that we... When it comes to the IOR potential of the main field, this is something that we need to work at as we get the asset into production and really work on the reservoir and the experience that we get from actually producing the reservoir. When it comes to more firming up the additional resources, maybe you here we could comment on that. And then before you have that, I would just, when it comes to the other activities, We have six licenses that is firm, that have been approved. We have five exploration licenses that are in the process of being approved. But basically, we have a portfolio of 11 exploration licenses, which is spread over three other basins in the area. Three of those licenses are also located actually in the Campos basin where we have the Peregrina development. And as I said, we are operating three of these 11 licenses, and we will drill one well this year. So that's what I at this point know about the specifically about the other type of activities in the field. So maybe you could comment on the...
With respect to being able to unlock the additional resources in the Peregrino Southwest and the Peregrino South, we believe that we need two more wells, and the current plan is to drill these two wells within the next 2 to 3 years. There will not be any wells this year.
Okay, so if I'm quite clear, any idea on improving recovery wouldn't really come until you're actually in production. And then you said, in terms of proving up additional reserves, it's going to take at least probably even about 2 to 3 years to come through that as well, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, there is the capacity of this facility, so that will sort of bring much the time sort of what get out of it in the first couple of years, or the first 6-7 years, actually, because we expect to have a plateau. So the recovery, that will, the increased recovery, that sort of will follow at the tail of the first year. When it comes to sort of how to develop the additional resources here, I think that also will have to be worked on as they have been firmed up.
Okay.
Next, McKay, ABN AMRO, go ahead please.
Harry, I think it's you now. Harry, are you there?
Maybe it's muted, I'll take the next.
Okay.
Next, Fabian Jonslegan, Morgan Stanley, go ahead please.
Yes, hi. Three questions actually. Just wanted to ask you, could you give me what the capital spend is on for Peregrino, and how much is already being spent in terms of the project? Just wanted also know, I don't know whether you clarified when you expect the Peregrino deal. Aspect of this deal to close. And lastly, if you could give a little bit of flavour on, I know you talked about drilling on Cascada, the appraisal wells, if you could just give us some sort of key highlights on the Gulf of Mexico drilling programme for 2008. Thank you.
Well, when it comes to capital spend on Peregrina, I think so far we have spent approximately $150 million on that development, and there is a capex program for, say, the the 50%, which is, you know, approximately, you know, 1 billion every year over the last, over the next couple of years. When it comes to the overall, we are talking about the CapEx. If you include the equipment that is being leased into this, and if you take that as an investment equivalent, you are talking about the approximately $5 per barrel. So that's the kind of CapEx we are talking about. When it comes to the closing of the Peregrina, maybe you should comment on that.
Yes, we expect the closing to be done within the next 4 to 6 months. However, this may take longer or it may be quicker, but so the expectation is within the next 4 to 6 months. And in this period, we will work very closely with Anadarko, as we have done up to now.
Your final question on the overall activity level in the Gulf of Mexico, I think we are into a quite substantial activity program. This year we are talking about 10 to 12 wells, that's not the exact number, but in that range for the whole of this year. At the moment we are drilling the half well in the water rich area, and I think that's basically the level of detail I can give you at the moment.
Thank you.
If further questions, please press star key 1. Next, McCasey, ABN AMRO. Go ahead, please.
I'll try again. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Hi. And to follow up to Hugh's question on the IOR potential of the field, now, I think you said you're targeting 53% recovery on the Grana field, but is the production mechanism different? Grana has had gas injection from day one, I understand. Will that be the same at Peregrino, or will it be a water injection production system? And does that make a difference to your aspirations for the overall recovery? Or are there any geological reasons which could stop you short of 53%?
Yes, as you said, on Peregrino, we will have water injection as a drive mechanism, while we, as you also said, on Granis, gas injection. We have said that we have an ambition of achieving 30% recovery factor from Peregrino, and that will mainly be achieved by drilling additional wells. That's the main IOR activity we look at today. But we have, as I said, an ambition of 30% from water injection.
That's great. Thank you.
Next, Goodman Eastfeldt, DNB NOR Markets. Go ahead, please.
Hello, the question regarding the quality of the heavy oil, and what I'm wondering about is the refinery in the U.S. that is going to take this oil, and when it comes to the quality, do you expect a narrowing discount over time as the refinery is getting used to this quality of oil?
Well, as I said in my introduction, we believe that we have performed several studies, and the last one was actually updated quite recently, and we feel there is capacity to deal with these kind of volumes, and this is, you know, something that is also in a way a learning process. Although we have a strong organization marketing more and more complex crews globally, I think this is something that we also learn to do better and better. And the experience that we have had on the Grana field, which isn't as heavy as this one, is very useful. Hopefully you're right that after a while we will be able to reduce the spread. But that's not something that we have sort of included in as the basis for our valuation. So again, I mean, it's the kind of offset that we're looking at, but these are the spreads that we have sort of taken as a starting point.
Okay, thank you.
No further questions.
Okay, but then I just have to say thank you very much for your attention, and goodbye.